Yeah, you should. Well, I'll tell you all about it. Listen to the podcast. That's why you're here, right? You're here to create it, help create it, but you can also listen, too. You can pay attention sometimes. I see you talking in there. Believe me, I know you're listening. Right, right, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, okay, let's do this thing. I'll give you the three S's and the countdown. You give me the music, and then I will give you one hell of a podcast. How's that for a deal? All right, let's get started here. Star, smile, strong. All right, Reg, put it in the book, by the way. Episode 252, 252. All right, here we go. You ready? 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com. Or we are found wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. Also, you know, the price of admission for this podcast, which of course is zero, free, nada, but it doesn't come without any responsibility. I mean, come on. So I have my job on this end, and you have your job on that end, which is to spread the word. Tell your friends, tell your family, send them a message, send them a link. Tell them why your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty, devotion, and that little extra effort is certainly, certainly appreciated and expected, if I don't mind saying. And if you like what you hear, don't forget, go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, hit the prompt for this podcast, and you'll find all previous 251 episodes. Yeah. We are at 252. I hope you've been here for all 252 of them. If you haven't, you can go back into that vault and listen to them all and get caught up. Because you don't want to miss any of the past podcasts, and you certainly don't want to miss any of the future ones. So welcome to episode 252. For those of you who enjoy listening to some of my adventures around the home, you will enjoy this podcast. I've talked on many occasions as a homeowner. It's almost inevitable that just when you think you've got everything done and everything's working well, something will always break down. That's just inherent in being a homeowner. You have to accept that and expect that. And even if you have a new home or you have a 100-year-old home or somewhere in the middle, things will break down. Some of them are made to break down, so you continue to buy them, and some just break, and they will break at the worst times. There is no good time, right? There's no good time for anything to not work. Some times are more inopportune than others, like you don't want your heat to go out in the winter or your air conditioning to go out in the summer, but sometimes it just happens, right? You use stuff enough, it's going to break. And as I've said on many occasions, earlier in my life and career as a homeowner, I tried to be a DIY guy, a Mr. Fix-It. I tried a few things. I succeeded at a few. I failed at probably more than I succeeded at. And even if I succeeded, they weren't done professionally. They were done enough to work, but they were always kind of jerry-rigged, you know? So it came to a point where I just was honest with myself and my wife and my ego and said, you know what? There are some Mr. Fix-Its and there are some call the guys. And you, Jim, are a call the guy. In the great tradition of Andy Griffith, one of the great Andy Griffith episodes, when Aunt B has a freezer that is on the fritz, and she's trying to save money. She doesn't want to call the man. She has Gomer try to fix it, and that's not going to work. And Andy, throughout the episode, pleads with her. He's exasperated. Call the man! And she won't call the man. And just Aunt B, just call the man! And finally, Andy has to take things into his own hands, and he calls the man, and not only does the man give them the bad news and the right news that this freezer is not a good machine anymore, but Andy buys Aunt Bea a new one, and of course Aunt Bea is, you know, upset that Andy spent money to buy her a new one. But Andy realizes, you know what, we've got more aggravation, more problems, and we don't need that. So you know what? You pay a little extra, you get something new, and you don't worry about it. And that's where I learned a lot. You know, you can learn a lot from the Andy Griffith Show, and that's one thing I learned. That episode, Call the Man, with the freezer, it always would come back in my mind. As when I was doing a project around the house, and I was still in my Mr. Fix-It phase, my old phrase was, isn't there a guy that does this? That was out of frustration of me trying to do this and either it taking too long, me not doing it correctly, or me just losing my patience or just not enjoying doing it. Or it became a much bigger project than I thought it would be. And most of these do-it-yourself around-the-house projects become much bigger projects than you expect them to be. Because especially even today's world, you can go on YouTube and find a how-to video to do something. But no two projects are the same. No two homes are the same. And no two projects are the same. So even the simplest thing, like fixing, you know, something on a sink, perhaps, it would seem like, oh, this is very simple. And the guy in the video tells you how simple it is. Oh, this is an easy one. Blah, blah, blah. And then you open up your sink or your freezer, whatever it is you're doing, and you realize that yours doesn't look like theirs, that yours is doing something different than they showed on the video, and now you've got the whole thing taken apart, and now you don't know where you're at. And that is when I would usually say, isn't there a guy that does this? And that happened to me enough times that I erased that portion of the fix the project or fix the problem. I erased my involvement, which was the easiest one to erase. And I quickly found that the best way to get it done correctly, with less stress, and perhaps even sometimes less expensive, because if you do it yourself and you ruin it, you spend twice as much fixing it. So you know what? I have come to the realization, as I said before, I have been honest with myself, I've been honest with my wife, I've been honest with my ego. I am not a putterer, I am not a Mr. Fix-It, I am a Mr. Call the Man. I'm a Mr. Call the Guy. I am a Mr. Isn't there a guy who does this? And I will even be more inclusive right now. Isn't there a person who does this? How's that? See how I've evolved? 20-some years ago, I said, isn't there a guy that does this? And maybe I should even change my phrase to call the man or call the guy. Maybe I should say call the person. So that I am showing you that I am evolving as a person. I am learning and becoming more inclusive in my thought. So from now on, put it down, mark it down. Episode 252 of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic is the day that I changed my phrase from call the man. Because don't forget, the Andy Griffith Show was in the 60s. So that back then, most repair people were men. So Andy wasn't being sexist. That was the way of the world. But I'm going to be inclusive. I'm going to embrace diversity. I'm going to show you that I am evolving, even though the middle-aged, white, straight male is the scourge of society today. We are responsible for everything bad in the world. We are out of touch. We are out of thinking. We are out of fashion. We are responsible for everything that is wrong in society. That is our new cross to bear. But I am showing you that even though I'm a part of that group, I am hopefully trying to be an exception. I am evolving. So I will not forever again say call the guy or call the man. From now on, I have a call the person story. Sorry, Andy Griffith. I'm going to have to update your phrase from the 1960s into the 2020s. So Here's another call the person story. Now, I have to admit this time, I don't feel bad about calling the person to fix this. There are some jobs around the house that I've described that I've done where some people may be listening and saying, geez, you could have fixed that yourself. Give me a break. Yes, I probably could have, but it probably wouldn't have done, but it would have taken twice as long. It would have upped my blood pressure. I'm already taking blood pressure pills. I don't need that. And it would have been frustrating. I probably would not have done it correctly. I probably would have needed more parts than I thought, or it would have taken longer than I thought, or it wouldn't have gotten, it wouldn't, it was, it would, it'd be working okay, but it's not exactly right. You know, I'd rather call the person who knows how to do it, pay a little extra. Once again, that's the cost of doing business if you own a house. If you don't want to, if you're not prepared or you can't do that, then you shouldn't own a house. You know, then you should either, you know, have a condo and have an association that takes care of those things, or rent and have someone else take care of when something breaks. But if you own a house, that's your responsibility, and you have to be honest with yourself. Are you a call the person, or are you a do-it-yourself person? I have admitted to myself, I'm a call the person. So, but this time, I think that most of you will agree that I had to call the person on this one. This one is not one that I don't think that you want to do yourself. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's somebody out there that says, Jim, I've done this. You could have saved money and time. Maybe, but once again, my better judgment, and in this case, my pure lack of bravery. And once again, I am stripped of all ego here. I have been honest to myself to say that I cannot fix things. And when it comes to this problem, I am afraid and unequipped. How's that? Now, that's honesty, right? But so let me tell you the story. So about 2.5 weeks ago or so, we're actually going on 3, and we're just about done now. It's been quite a, between the weather and other things that have happened in our little quest here. It's taken much longer than it probably should have. But once again, at least I knew it was being handled in the correct way. And it wasn't one of my own projects, which would have been driving me up a wall. I knew that a professional was handling it. So if that's what it took, then that's what it took. So about, I would say 3 weeks ago or so, I'd fallen asleep on the couch, and so I came down and I was watching TV in the early morning, and then I'd fallen asleep. And so a lot of times around 5:30 or so, if I am downstairs, our cat Grimsby, the cat, will come down looking for food, and she will make noise and do these little rituals in order to either wake me up or get my attention that, hey, I'm hungry and let's go upstairs for some food. And sometimes I think I've even described this, sometimes I'm just so tired that I'm actually acting in front of my cat. I'm pretending to go to sleep or be sleeping. And sometimes she believes me and sometimes she doesn't, and she just sits there and stares and she knows I'm faking. So it's like 5:30 in the morning, and I hear scratching. And that's one of the things she does. She will gently scratch on the couch. And thankfully, she hasn't destroyed anything, but she'll just gently scratch. Or she'll go on the top of the coffee table and knock some hard, like a little frame down. She's got, and it's not going to break or anything. It's a small little frame of our performer cat, which is very interesting. I think a pet psychologist may find this interesting. She knocks down a frame of a picture of our former cat, Thames. Very interesting why she's chosen that to knock down. But that's a whole other story. Maybe that's a whole other podcast. We'll see. But that's one of their little rituals that she goes through. And she usually, you know, makes enough noise that I'll either wake up, or if I am up, I will acquiesce and go upstairs and give her some food. It's not that much of a big of a deal, but you know, it's 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, and to walk up, you know, a couple of flights of stairs and do that is not what you really feel like doing at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. So, but I'm used to hearing that. And so I was like semi-awake and I hear this scratching. But it was louder than usual. And I'm like, what is she scratching on? Because sometimes when she scratches like on the side of the couch, it's muted, obviously, right? You know, it's cloth. But this sounded very loud. And I was like, wow. And off of our living room, there's a small kind of extension room that's open. There's no door. And sometimes she'll walk in there and, you know, just walk through there. It's got two openings on each side. It kind of bookends the fireplace. There's two openings. And so she'll walk in on the left side and come back, you know, walk through the room and come back on the right side, you know. But this sounded very loud. So I'm like, is she scratching on a vent or something in the other room? And that's something that she never does. So what's going on? So now my interest is piqued. If she wanted to get my attention and get me up to investigate and ultimately get her food, she certainly found a new way to do that, at least this one time. So I get up and I walk into that room and I'm looking for her and I don't see her anywhere. And I'm like, well, where is she? You know, she's not back in the living room. But where was this scratching from? So then I turn the light on and, you know, she's not in there. She is not down here at all. And then 2 seconds later or so, I hear scratching again. And I look up at the ceiling. And if you're a homeowner, you may know what I'm going to say next. I hear scratching in our ceiling, which can only mean one thing. We've got a little critter in our ceiling. Isn't this going to be fun? And so I hear this scratching, and then I walk in there, and it must hear me, and it's scratching, and I'm shaking my head going, are you kidding me? Ugh. We have not had a lot of this problem at our home since we've lived here, about 22 years. But we've had it enough, I would say about 17 years ago, maybe even longer than that, maybe even 19. It was soon after we moved in. We had raccoons in our attic. A mother raccoon gave birth to 3 little baby raccoons in our attic. And our cat at the time, Thames, was really the one who pointed that out to us because she was in this one room, spare room upstairs where she used to hang out. And she was looking at the ceiling once again quite a bit. And we were like, what is she looking at the ceiling for? And then we heard scratching on the vent in the ceiling. And sure enough, we had something up there. And at first, I thought it was squirrels, too. That's your first kind of inclination at squirrels. But when we did call a pest control guy, he said, no, he went up there and saw the hole. And he said, no, this is not a squirrel. This is raccoons. And in fact, we figured that out. I should say, now that I'm thinking about it, we knew that before. Because we heard the scratching. We thought initially it was squirrels. When we called the person, see how I've changed my ways already? When we called the person, we said we think we have squirrels up there. And then the next day, while we were waiting for the person to arrive to assess our problem, my wife looked out and saw 3 little heads sticking out of a hole in our roof, 3 little raccoon heads. So we knew we didn't have squirrels. We knew we had raccoons. And so we had to call a place, and you know, they humanely trap them and they take them away. They don't kill them, but they do get them out of your attic and fix everything up. So that was about 15, 17 years ago. Then we had another one in our garage that we had to take care of. And I had a few raccoon problems in my parents' home after they passed away. I still had their home, and it was empty for a while. And of course, that was, you know, just a perfect setting for raccoons there. So I had to take care of that a few times. So I've had my my experience with critters. And so here we were again. I heard this scratching. I didn't know if it was a raccoon or not. Since it was early in the morning, you know, raccoons, they go out in the evening. They're scavengers at night. And then they spend most of the day indoors, and they go back out at night. So this was 5:30. So in my mind, I wondered if it was a raccoon who was just coming back in from you know, a hard day's night. And I didn't know where they got in or how they got in, somewhere outside. But certainly I heard something in there scratching. I heard it walking around. I hit a broom, and I hit the ceiling, and I could hear it move. So, yeah, we had something in there. And I was just like, are you kidding me? Here we go again. And usually right around now is the time when many of these critters, like your squirrels or your raccoons, will start to have their babies. And so they are looking for a safe place to have their babies. And there's no safer place than your attic or your roof or somewhere. So we called the We called the person, and now, of course, I discovered this on a Saturday morning. So I know no one's coming. So I went out to look in the room where, in the ceiling of where this was. This is an attached room, and from our second floor bedroom, the ceiling of that room is actually the floor of what could be a patio. We don't use it for that, but it does have two doors that leads out to that. So the roof is it reinforced for you to walk on. So I went out there to see what was, if there was any damage, to see if there was a hole of some sort. But at that time, a few weeks ago, we had had a heavy snow, and so there was snow on there. Now, I did not see any footprints, which I thought I would see. But some of the snow had melted. So it was a mystery. I didn't know what we had in there. I didn't know where it got in. But I had to call the person. So, of course, the person wasn't going to come until Monday. So now it's Saturday. So, you know, for another day and a half, you know, this thing is up in our ceiling and we can hear it. And it's not making all that much noise. And, you know, and that's why I thought it maybe, you know, was a raccoon because it, during the day, I wasn't hearing anything. And a lot of times they're sleeping during the day. So I figured we probably had a raccoon again. It seems to be our luck. And given the times I was hearing it, the next morning, same exact time, 5:30, I heard it again. So it was like, wow, this thing has a pretty good schedule. So finally, then they didn't come on Monday. Something happened. So finally they came on Tuesday. They looked around. They said, well, it looks like we have squirrels. We don't think it's raccoons. We think it's squirrels. There's no major real damage hole. It seems like there might be some vulnerabilities in the roof of this, and they are very pliable. They can get in. So we think it's a squirrel rather than a raccoon. I don't know if that's much of a you know, it doesn't matter. They're still a live animal living in my house somewhere. Now, thankfully, if you've seen on television or heard the horror stories, I mean, a lot of times, especially raccoons, they will scratch through ceilings and fall into your house. And that's got to be a scary situation. So thankfully, it seemed as if this thing was scratching, but it wasn't scratching enough that it sounded like it was, you know, I didn't see any internal damage, like it was going to make a hole in the ceiling. Well, then, as I said, the guy finally, the person who was a gentleman, he came on Tuesday to give an initial kind of look around a thing and said, I think it's a squirrel. Now, interestingly, I had not heard anything from Monday, on Monday at all. And even Tuesday in the morning when the man came. So I thought, hey, maybe we got lucky. And it's gone. Who knows? Maybe it came in, didn't like what it was finding, and went to another place. Or who knows? Maybe it got hit by a car. I mean, my gosh, they say that the lifespan of a squirrel is not that long, not because of they're not they of any kind of health issue, but a lot of times, sadly, squirrels take a lot of chances when they cross the street, and you've seen them, right? On the street. So I thought, well, who knows? Maybe something happened. Either he didn't like our roof, for whatever reason, our ceiling, and maybe he decided to go somewhere else, or sadly, maybe he was struck by a car and didn't come back. But still had to have the guy come and check it out. But I told him, I haven't heard anything in a couple of days. And so we were like, okay, well, maybe we got lucky. And then, as I told you before, our cat, our previous cat, Thames, gave us a little inkling that we had raccoons up there several years ago. And Grimsby the cat, who I thought was the culprit of this sound initially, wound up being another alarm because she was upstairs and she let out a very strange meow. It was like a meow. And we were like, whoa, what is that? And I think she heard the scratching. Now upstairs in the attic. So we went upstairs, and sure enough, my wife says, wait a minute, I'm hearing something really loud here. And now we're hearing some major scratching by a vent again. And so now, clearly, if it's the same squirrel, somehow it got from that roof on this side room up another flight into our attic, which is not used at all. I've never even been up there. It's got a small little, you know, entranceway. There's a air conditioner unit up there, but it's just, you know, an empty attic. Now, I don't know how this squirrel got in there, because the room that is the addition room of what it was in the original ceiling of that room is not connected internally. At least it doesn't seem like it. It was added on after the house was built, and it's a brick house. So the original outside of the house is brick, and this new addition was added on to a brick. In fact, in that room inside, we have exposed brick of where that wall is. So I don't know how the heck this squirrel found its way from this other ceiling in the spare room, which I hadn't heard it now in a couple of days, right? So we thought it was gone, or perhaps it was killed. But somehow it either made its way to another part of the house. Well, here's why. Because when the guys came then on Wednesday, now I had still not heard any scratching on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, right? The last time I heard it was on Sunday in that ceiling in that side room. So they looked around. They said, you know what? There is a hole here that we see where he must have gotten in. In fact, there's two of them, and they were actually, they weren't even holes that were created by the, and they believed it was a squirrel, by the squirrel. We had on this roof, as I said, it could be used as kind of a patio. There used to be like a little carriage railing, you know, for safety. But it was old, and one day it literally fell off. Thank God it didn't hurt anyone or hurt anything. It literally fell off in a very windy, it was very old. I didn't know it was that old or that decrepit, but the wind literally blew the whole thing down. Thankfully, it didn't hurt anything else. It just kind of fell and made a huge crashing sound. Once again, you got to love being a homeowner, right? I mean, I looked at it visibly. It looked like it was fine. We never used it. And so I never really leaned on it, but clearly it was not very stable. And so where the posts of that railing were in, they were in, you know, they were dug into the roof, and though they were sealed with wood in there, but I guess over time some of that wood just disintegrated or whatever, and so there was an opening. So he said, well, we have to cover these. This is obviously where it got in. So on Wednesday, now don't forget, I did this on, I first heard the sound on Saturday. Finally on Wednesday, we got somebody here, and now I haven't heard the squirrel for 3 days. So he's looking around. He goes, well, based on what you're saying, if you haven't heard it for 3 days, And we're not hearing it now. And we're not seeing it really, any evidence of it there now. And you're not, I mean, we're up there walking and it's not, you know, it's not moving or anything. So, and you haven't heard it even at those special times in the morning when you've usually heard it. So maybe it is gone. So he said, I think we can get away with not, I think it's gone. And so we're probably just going to, we can just, you know, fill these, you know, cover up these holes and we're done. So I'm like, okay, if that's what you think, you know, you're the expert. All I was doing was providing some information. I haven't heard it in 3 days. I'm going with what you say. Certainly would be better from my standpoint because it was initially going to be a lot more expensive. They had to be out here trapping this thing and checking the trap every day. So, okay, fine. So they do a nice job sealing it up, tarred it and everything. Nice. And so it was very nice to have finally gotten, you know, that was done. It was like, okay, it got done. It was relatively simple, and it was cheaper than I thought. So nice little check mark on that. Stress level gone. Nothing living in our ceiling anymore. And, you know, life is good again. Until 24 hours later, when I hear, once again, in that same ceiling, scratching in the same spot at the same time. Well, now, if that squirrel got in there through those holes that they found and not some other way, now he's trapped, right? And so now what? Now is he going to die in there? Are we going to have some horrible smell? So now, you know, 24 hours ago, I thought we had a really nice solution and life was good, and now life was chaotic again. So I have to call the person again. Well, you know what? Remember that squirrel in my ceiling? Well, I hear him again. So we might have to take undo what you did and put a trap there, and we're going to have to trap him again anyway. Well, in the time from when I heard them on Thursday until they came again on the next Monday, because they weren't able to come, and I once again wasn't hearing it. We weren't hearing it. We heard it that Thursday. We didn't hear it Friday or Saturday or Sunday, so I didn't call him because I thought, well, maybe once again, maybe he died in there. I don't know what the hell this squirrel was doing, where he was going, where he was coming in and out of. It was, and why he was making, you know, sounds on some days and not on others. I don't know what was going on. This squirrel was driving us crazy, was not following any kind of normal pattern. So I didn't call. I called to say, you know, and they said, well, we'll see if we can come out, but we probably can't come out until, you know, Friday. And then they didn't come. And then I didn't bother to call him because I wasn't hearing it again. So I thought it maybe died. And maybe we got lucky. Maybe it was a stink-free death. I don't know. So we're not hearing anything until we hear our cat on Sunday make that noise, which alerts us that that was an odd noise. And then we hear the scratching, and now it's like scratching on a vent, and even like it sounded like it was scratching on our filter of the vent, which I'm like, ugh. I mean, the filter was covered by a vent, but I don't want to even see this squirrel if he eats through the, you know, and scratches through a filter. So I'm like, oh, and we could hear him now, you know, and our cat is now, she knows he's up there, and she's looking around. Oh, you know, she's very, and she's walking in the other room, because then we hear it go to another part of the attic and, you know, in the ceiling of another room, and that's where her food is. And she's looking up, and she's very, you know, leery of even, she hears it. So now she's like kind of a leery to even go in that room. So, you know, the Elton Jim household for like 3 or 4 days is just, you know, in chaos now with this bad squirrel, this bad house guest. We have a, you know, it's one thing to have a boarder or a house guest that you invite in, but these that you don't invite in that are wild animals, that's not fun. So now, you know, we're hearing the scratching in the corner, and you know, we're hitting with a broom and, you know, wishing it would leave and just get out. Well, before the, you know, the guy comes to trap it or whatever. Then my wife goes out into the, about a day later, after we heard it upstairs finally, like on that Saturday. On Sunday, my wife goes outside in the yard, and we hear it from outside. So clearly now it got in, it sounded as if it got into the aluminum soffit underneath our gutter. So now you could hear it scratching there. It's like, so I don't know how it got from the side room up into our attic. Maybe that was the 2 days we were in hearing it. It was finding some new way through some wall somewhere. I don't know how it got there, but it did, or it made an, I don't know, maybe it was a different squirrel. I don't know what is going on. All I know now is I got a squirrel in the soffit and my attic somewhere. And it's making noise to the point where even my neighbor, who didn't even know we had this problem, I saw him, and he said, is there something going on in your attic? You got something in your attic? Because I said, yeah, you know, yeah. He said, wow, it was really loud. I said, yeah, I know. I don't know what's going on. So now they finally come on Monday, and I say, look, you know, I'm giving the whole story. We used to have this sound you fixed, we thought you fixed last week. Well, now either there's a new squirrel or this same squirrel, but it's a mystery. They're looking at it. They're looking at the way the house is built and the way the room is built and saying, yeah, how the heck, if that's the same squirrel, how did it get out of the ceiling of that other thing into the attic when it's all brick? So maybe there's another hole somewhere. But how did he still get out of there? You know, I'm still wondering, is there another hole that, even though they cover those other ones, there must be another hole or something, because he got back in on Thursday. But then if he got back in on Thursday, why didn't he go out the same way? So I think we locked him in, and then he woke up, couldn't get out, and somehow, I don't know, I'd love to have some kind of a device that I could x-ray the inner walls of my house to see, is there some opening, some way? I don't think this thing could scratch through brick. I don't think it's a super squirrel. But somehow it got from this, what would seem to be a very isolated spot, into our attic. And then it went from the attic into the aluminum soffit and was scratching in there. So I don't know what the hell this squirrel is doing. I know one thing it's doing. It's driving me crazy. So now the guys come again, and they're going to go up, and I say, well, you know, and then they heard it, and I said, well, listen, and thankfully it was scratching right when they got here. I said, well, there, it's up, go there, because that's the spot. And then while they were preparing the ladder, it started to make the noise, so they knew it was there. So they knew I wasn't crazy. Because I think the guy that came, good old Godfred, I think Godfred thought I was crazy after a while. I think this guy's hearing things. When they did go in the attic, they did go up in the attic, and they did see signs that there was there. In fact, that scratching sound that we heard in the attic and by the filter was not actually the filter, but it was like a duct, one of those silver kind of tubular things that connects, like, you know, your dryer to the vent and things like that. That's what it was chewing on. It was eating the outside plastic of that. So they're like, okay, there's certainly something up here. And I actually, I'm not doing the story right. So they came, and they first came when we heard them up in the attic. So then they put some traps in the attic, because they walked around in the attic and they saw it. Yeah, there's clearly something in here. It did damage here. Nothing major, but clearly it was eating away at something. You know, that duct thing, which was no big deal. Just some plastic. So no. And he said, yeah, you could see that. So they put a couple of traps up there. And then after they put the trap there and left, then that's when my wife heard this noise outside. So who knows if they scared him. And he made another. So now the traps are up there for a couple of days, and they didn't catch anything. And I said, well, look, we're hearing it now outside in this soffit. So they go, they take the traps out of there, and now they hear it, and then he goes up onto the roof, and finally he sees a hole. He goes, yep, there's a hole. This is how he's getting in, and that's how he's getting in that soffit part. So now we have finally, at least we finally saw a hole that he made. So now at least, okay, I understand that. But I still don't know if it's the same squirrel that we trapped here. I don't know, because once again, it's a great mystery. It was when the holes were closed in that side room, the next day we heard the scratching inside. So I don't know how he got from one to the other, or if it's a different squirrel. That's still the mystery we have to figure out. We still haven't figured that one out yet. But at least we knew now that this squirrel that's in the soffit made a hole and is living there and making noise and is certainly now catchable, because if you put the trap by the hole, we're going to catch. You put two traps there, in fact. And Godfred, the critter guy, he had a special recipe that he feels attracts the squirrels. And he felt it was a squirrel, not a raccoon, because the hole was small. So he said, yeah, it is a squirrel. We know it's a squirrel. Okay, that's good. Because raccoons will do a lot more damage, make a much bigger hole. He said, no, this is a squirrel. Okay, good. Not that that makes any difference. It's just like, I don't know, raccoons seem scarier to me. But squirrels are certainly manic, because we could hear this thing running around and making noise. For like a week now, we've had this border. And once again, all I have to say is this squirrel was living in our house, and rent-free, by the way. Thank you very much. I had to pay for this squirrel, ultimately, at the end of the day. So, it was living rent-free for at least a week and a half, making its way through different walls, I guess, and ceilings and holes. I don't know what the hell this squirrel was doing, but it certainly wasn't going to make it easy for us. It hadn't up to this part. So, Godfred, the critter guy, puts a couple of traps up there, and he says his, now, don't forget, he had a couple of traps in the attic, and he said none of them were touched. They even put some stray food there. So clearly, when they were walking around, it must have scared it enough that it now found a way to get into that soffit and was living in there. Because he said none of the food was touched in the traps, so it clearly did not come back in to the attic. And if it didn't even eat some of the food in the traps, it would have eaten some of the stray food that they had just put out to allure it there. So clearly, it either found a way, and it found a safer way, and I guess a better place that it wanted to be, was in that outdoor aluminum soffit, as opposed to being inside the house. And it made a hole, so I guess it was just, going out, getting its food, coming back. So that's probably why it didn't even eat the food in the traps, because now it had a hole. It had a safe way in and out, and it go out and get its regular food. Wasn't a stupid squirrel, that's for sure. Or maybe it was. Because Godfred feels that he knows he has a secret recipe. Because I said, well, what are you going to put in the trap? He says, well, we usually put peanut butter. And they even did that for the raccoons. For some reason, peanut butter seems to be a favorite of the critter rodent population. So if you ever want to catch one, you should use peanut butter. If you want to make sure you don't attract one, don't keep peanut butter outside or anywhere near outside your house or near your roof. Not that you would, but just in case. Don't throw any stray peanut butter jars out and have them hanging around your garbage cans. Make sure they're inside the garbage, well tucked. So he not only, but he had a little added bonus. So if you're a do-it-yourself rodent trapper at the house, maybe some people do have their own traps and they will do this themselves. Like I said, some people may be listening to this and saying, Jim, you could have done this. You didn't need the guy. Oh, I needed the guy. First of all, he went up on a huge extension ladder, which I would never even think about going up. So I needed the guy. Okay, no two ways about it. Plus, I am not going to be getting any kind of confrontation with a critter. Not me. No. In fact, even if it was in the cage, I wouldn't even be able to grab the cage when it was in there. No way. I'm, once again, no bravery. I'm not winning any awards. I don't pretend to know how to react if I see a raccoon or a squirrel in my attic, and I am not going to pretend like I do. Once again, I have no bravery. I am a coward. I'm not going to do it. I am paying the professional to do it. They know how to catch them. They know how to get rid of them. They know how to do the whole thing. This is one job that I am not looking for a YouTube video or not even thinking that I'm going to do. I'm calling the person. And Gottfried was very cool and very patient, and he was actually thanking me. Thank you for listening and hearing, because I did narrow it down. As I say many times, I don't watch Columbo for nothing. I've become quite a detective. If you remember an earlier podcast, I told you how I couldn't figure out why my car battery was dying, and I figured that out, that the toll booth monitor, the thing that when you go to pay the tolls, was falling off of my windshield and hitting my caution light. And the caution light was on all night in the garage and burned out my battery. I figured that out. Thank you very much. So, like I said, there's a reason why you watch Columbo or you read Sherlock Holmes stories. You can become your mini detective. So we became mini detectives here, which really helped Gottfried to narrow down where the hole was. And it was exactly where we said we heard the noise. And so he's like, I'm glad. Thank you for listening and paying attention, because you really helped make this go even, you know, a little quicker, even though it didn't seem like it was very quick. But so Gottfried, in his expertise to catch the squirrel, not only uses peanut butter, but Gottfried finds that a little peanut butter and some Cheetos seem to do the trick. Now, I, of course, made the joke and said, well, that makes it easy then, because you just look for the, you know, which you know, squirrel it is, because you just look for the squirrel that has, you know, the orange Cheeto stuff on its mouth or on its front paws. So that's how you know you got the right squirrel, if it's got Cheeto stuff, that orange flaky stuff from the Cheetos on their mouths and on their hands, like we do when we eat Cheetos. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, well, let's see if this works, right? And it was funny because I asked, because I saw this glob of peanut butter and this orange thing. I'm like, what did you put in it? He goes, I put a Cheeto. I'm like, interesting. I go, is it hot and spicy or regular? Was it puffy or, you know, was it the puffed Cheeto or the regular Cheeto? You know, you can't just say Cheetos anymore. But anyway, that was Godfrey's secret recipe. And so he put two traps up near that hole on the roof. And it was about 1:30 or so, and they finally left. And he said, okay, well, we'll come tomorrow and see what happens. You know, keep an eye on it, and we'll see what happens. Okay. So at least I felt good. Now at least we had some real progress after more than a week, because we at least saw a hole, we heard a noise, and now we had traps in the spot where we could tell that the squirrel was going in and out of. So I was feeling very, after a week now and a half, I was finally feeling like we were getting close to getting this done, even though the other mystery is still hanging out there and is still hanging till this day. When I find out what it is, I will tell you. But how that squirrel got from that other ceiling to our attic is still the great mystery, which I still have to figure out. But at least we're narrowing down our chase now. We have found the entryway. We know that it's in there, it's making noise, and we know it's probably coming out to get food. And so most likely by putting the trap there, we're going to get it. As I said, they trap these animals. They have to, and like I said, they don't kill them. But you do, with squirrels, you do have to, when you do release them, you have to take them far away, because they have a very good radar. In fact, a friend of mine who used to live in the neighborhood here when we first moved in, we live near a forest preserve, so we have a lot of critters around. We have a ton of squirrels, especially in the summer, eating off of our walnut tree, and I think I've talked about that. So, but obviously, these critters are a problem for everybody. It's not just our house. It's not as if we have the Holiday Inn and every available critter wants to live with us. I mean, we are very hospitable, and we are good hosts. but I don't want to be that good of a host to any kind of wild animal. But apparently, in this area, it's very common problem with critters. And so, a friend of mine had a trap, and he was actually, when we first had those raccoons, he said, "If you want to use this, you could use it." But I didn't want to use it. I'm like, I'm not getting involved in that. But he told the story how they had this trap, and they did find some squirrels in their attic or wherever, and they caught them in the trap. And then they would go to a forest preserve and release them. And they kept coming back. So finally, my friend's father was getting so frustrated because they just kept catching. They were like, are these the same ones or are they different ones? What's going on here? And so he caught one finally again. And he took some spray paint and just spray painted the tail. Not a lot, you know, not to make it an outcast in its community. But just enough to say, if I catch this one again, I'm going to know it's the same one. And he drove this to a farther forest preserve now, maybe about, you know, 10 miles away or so, and figured, okay, we're done, finally done. And wouldn't you know, some days or weeks later, they caught another squirrel, and it was the same squirrel. And I've been told that you really have to, if you catch a squirrel especially, that you have to take it at least 20 miles away or it will find its way back. It will find its way back, amazingly. It's the tracing and the their instincts are amazing. They will find their way back if it's within a 10-mile radius. Because, you know, they're scampering all over the place. So they're leaving their scent everywhere. And they must, during the day, you see squirrels running around. So you wouldn't be surprised if they cover 10 miles. They're going all over the place. So you have to take them at least 20 miles away so they can't feel their scent anymore and they won't come back. So Godfred once again said, yeah, don't worry. You know, we take them in and the Humane Society, they check these things to make sure everything's fine. You know, so then we let them out about 20, 30 miles away from where you live. I'm like, okay, fine. So Godfred now sets the traps. We see the hole. We're all set. I'm feeling good about this. It's like 1:30. Godfred leaves, and we'll see what happens. And I went out to do some errands. I left about 3 o'clock. I came back at 5. I parked the car. I'm walking back from the garage toward the house. I just take a glance up at the trap up there. It's visible. And sure enough, in one of the traps, I see a tail wagging. We have hit pay dirt. We have caught our squirrel. I called Godfred up. I said, hey, man, we got him. He's in there. He's like, okay, that's good to hear. I'll be there tomorrow. So he was up there all night. And my wife was like, now, you know, suddenly, you know, the funny thing is I'm just ecstatic that we caught this thing. It's not in the house anymore, you know. And then as soon as, and it was, we were all kind of leery about this being in the house. And then once my wife heard it was in the cage, then her maternal instincts and her love of animals kicked in. And now she's like, oh, you mean it's in the cage? And oh, it's going to be cold tonight. I'm like, okay, what are we going to bring we're going to bring this thing in the house? I mean, what are you talking about? We've been trying to catch this thing for a week and a half. We finally catch it. We're finally going to get rid of this thing, this problem. And now you're feeling sorry for I'm like, I'm sorry, but, you know, this is a wild animal. This is not a cute little squirrel. This is a wild animal that's been wreaking havoc and damaging our gutters. And this is not our friend. It's a wild animal. And you could see it was kind of squirming around in there. It wasn't just happy to be in that cage. So Godfred comes the next day, finds the squirrel, looks at the squirrel and says, oh, yeah, this is a female. And I said, oh, is she pregnant? He's like, no, she's not pregnant, but she was probably preparing, you know, to have, looking for a spot to have her babies because in the next couple of weeks they're going to have, you know, she's going to get pregnant and have babies. So I'm like, wow. Okay, well, we thank God. Who needed baby squirrels? Could you imagine that? Oh, what a pain in the butt. But she clearly wasn't happy. She was moving around in that cage, but it was amazing. Godford just grabbed that cage without even thinking, looked at it. You know, she was moving around in there. I was so skeeved out, and I was afraid. I'm like, you know. So we catch this squirrel. Happy days are here again. He fills the hole up so nothing else can get in there. And so now he's going to come. He says, well, let's wait. Maybe let's make sure that there's nothing else in there, that nothing else goes into. We'll set the other trap, leave it by the hole. If the, you know, he put like some like a newspaper or some kind of something to fill the hole. He goes, if this is knocked out, we'll know that something else tried to get in there or tried to get out. So then we know we might, but it was still in there. Nothing in the new trap. So it looks like we hit pay dirt. It didn't take long for our squirrel to get hungry and get out that hole and get caught very quickly. And as I said to Godfrey, nice job, Godfrey, nice job with your Cheetos. Clearly the Cheeto worked, the peanut butter and Cheetos. So remember that, folks. You learned something here on the podcast. If you want to catch a squirrel, peanut butter and Cheetos can do the trick for you. So now in between, of course, this had to go on longer because we got a snowstorm again. So Godfrey couldn't come to, you know, take the, you know, fix the hole. So now he comes the other day, finally comes. The snow had melted the next day, fine. He comes, we're talking, we got him. It looks like it's okay, great. He's got his big extension ladder. He brings the ladder into the yard. He picks the ladder up. He pulls on the string to unleash the extension part, and the string breaks. Which means he cannot extend his ladder. There's nothing worse than an extension ladder that doesn't extend, right? So, you know, yeah. So his ladder was limp, right? You know. There's nothing worse than an impotent ladder. And that's what we were stuck with, an impotent ladder. So now, instead of getting this finally done, almost 3 weeks later, he couldn't fix the string. It wasn't, he was afraid that it was going to break again and it wouldn't work, especially if he's up on the thing, and I don't blame him. So he said, I'll come tomorrow. So as it stands right now, Godfrey is coming tomorrow. Hopefully with a new ladder, he will fix the hole, close the hole, take the traps away. We haven't heard anything since then, so it looks as if we caught our culprit. He is going to take another look on the outside on that other roof, because that remains the mystery to all of us. Not only my wife and me, but Godfrey also can't figure out how the hell that squirrel got from that spot to there when there's bricks everywhere. There doesn't seem to be a logical way to get into our ceilings or in our walls from the outside, from that other room. But clearly, either it did or this was another squirrel. But if it did, then another squirrel died in there. We're not smelling anything. So it's a great mystery. It really is a Columbo episode. So he's going to take a look, and maybe we'll find some other way that other squirrel got in and out. I don't know. But this is not over yet, but it's close to it. And it is a real sense of just calm now that we don't have a wild animal that's scratching and potentially, you know, could scratch and do a lot of damage inside of the house and, God forbid, scratch a hole and start running around in the house. Oh, I would be skeeved out. Oh, God, would that be scary. But this is one that, once again, my blood pressure wasn't too high on this one because it was more frustrating than it was stressful. It's still a mystery, but this is one where I had to call the guy. I had to call the person. This was one that I felt okay about. It wasn't like one like, oh, geez, I probably could have, you know, fixed that sink or fixed that toilet. This one, no. When I'm dealing with wild animals, with wild critters, I am once again admitting my cowardice and saying I'm calling the pros. And they know what they're doing. Godfrey knew how to catch him. He knew what to catch him, where to catch him, how to catch him. He just had an impotent ladder to finish the job. But hopefully that, you know, he'll take some of that Frank Thomas stuff in his ladder will be much better tomorrow. But that is, once again, another chapter of just when you think everything in the house is fixed, something goes wrong, and it's time to call the person. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com, or we are found wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? Spread the word. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode 252. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen. Call the man. Oh, I mean the person.